Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
At Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Practicing basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success, so you know something I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast, everybody. This is your host, Jason Staples. Once again, this podcast brought to you by Luis Marquez, realtor in Jacksonville, Florida, and more than a realtor, a trained photographer and videographer who can help you make your home look really spiffy and put together an online marketing plan to showcase your home and get it sold quickly for the best possible price. If you're thinking about listing your house, give Luis a call at 850-443-5797 or email him or contact him through his Facebook page, all sorts of different ways to get in touch with him. Also, if you want to buy a house in the greater Jacksonville area, no better realtor to work hard on your behalf. Support a fellow Seminole on all of this. Support the show. Let him know you heard about him from the show, and you'll get perks. Also want to let everybody know that I've set up a college pick'em pool against the spread for listeners of the Unconquered Podcast. There will be a prize for the winner to be announced later, a form of Florida State Florida State merchandise that that is presently in the works. But I can't quite announce that just yet. But there will be a prize for the winner. So go ahead over to funofficepools.com, search for the Unconquered Podcast or Unconquered Podcast football pick'em pool under college football pick'em. Should be pretty easy to find. If you can't find it, go through the at Doc Staples Twitter page. I've tweeted about it. I've tweeted that link out. Or to the to the Unconquered Podcast Facebook page, where I also have a link up there to the pool. Definitely join into that pool and join us for some pick'em action. See how you do against the spread this year, and see if you can beat me and your fellow listeners of the Unconquered Podcast. The pool is set up. Want to go ahead and get your picks in before this weekend when Florida State faces Alabama. All right, now we're going to go ahead and join our predictions podcast. This is part two of the Fearless Predictions podcast, joined together or featuring. You know, this is one of those feet tracks that you see all the time. Wayne McGahee III from the Tallahassee Democrat, who longtime listeners remember at one time was a co-host on this particular podcast before moving to greener pastures, certainly greener, over at the Tallahassee Democrat and doing excellent work for them over there. Definitely make sure you keep up with Wayne at Wayne McGahee III on Twitter. Listen to his new podcast. There'll be a little information about that again at the end of this podcast. But we're going to go ahead and flip over to the defensive side now and talk about our expectations for the 2017 Florida State defense, and then our expectations for the season as a whole. Then after that, I'm going to come back and without Wayne, having finished the portion with Wayne McGahee III, I will come back and do a little bit more of a look nationally at the playoff picture and some other things to expect for the season. So, without further ado, let's get to part two of the Fearless Predictions podcast for 2017. So, let's flip to the defensive side. Any pet predictions you have here? I know you have some from the TDO article.
Yes, Josh Sweat will lead the team in sacks.
How many?
He and Brian Burns will both have both have double digits.
How many Sweat gonna get?
13.
You think Burns only? I mean, Burns had 9.5 last year in spot duty. You think he's going to have fewer than 13 this year?
Yes, strictly because I think he's going to be a lot more tired because he's going to play a lot.
Well, and there's also going to be some competition for a few of those sacks. I mean, Derwin's back, and some of these others are going to be out there. Pugh.
Yeah, you've got Pugh, you've got Derwin, you have Josh Sweat, who's finally healthy. I mean, how many? I mean, just how many? I want to go back, and it would take me a long time to do it, but I want to see how many sacks Josh Sweat was a half a second away from.
Or how many times he had a quarterback in the grasp and didn't finish it? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because, I mean, he could have led the team in sacks last year.
Yeah, he certainly led him in pressures.
Yes. So, you know, I'm a believer that the hustle is there, the effort is there, and his knee is there, and he's going to get after the quarterback. So I'm going to say 13 and 12 for Burns.
Okay, so last year's team averaged 3.92 sacks per game as a whole. Over under 3.92 sacks. And I'm going to go back just to give reference here. 2015, 2.46 sacks per game. 2014, 1.21. 2013, 2.5. 2012, 2.5. Last year, 3.92. Over under.
Oh, it's going to be under that. But I think it's going to be. I think they're going to end up close to where they were last year with the total.
They had 51 in 13 games last year. We'll see how many games we expect them to play in a minute, but you think they'll wind up right around there? I think they're going to exceed that. I think they're, I'm going to take the over. I'm going to go with 4 sacks per game. I think that based on what I've heard from camp, I may be getting misled by, you know, poor quality of the offensive line they're facing. But I think they're going to go, especially with the lower level of offensive lines that they're playing, or of quarterbacks that they're playing, that is, on the year. They're playing some great defenses, but last year they played a lot of quarterbacks that could get the ball out, and they still got those sacks. This year they're playing more quarterbacks who may not be able to get the ball out as quickly.
Florida State led the country by a lot last year
in sacks per game. I know. Yeah. And I think they'll exceed it this year. That's my bold prediction.
Oh, all right. You know,
and I think Sweat is going. I think both Sweat and Burns are going to be over 13.
Okay.
So there's my bold prediction. All right, you're next. You've got another defensive one.
Let's see. No, I didn't. But
okay. Let's see, interceptions or turnovers, just in general.
Ooh. Turnover margin or defensive turnovers?
Let's go defensive turnovers.
Okay.
Last year, let's see. Last year they had 15 interceptions and 23 total forced fumbles, which was up from 8 the prior year, and right around this 2014 was 14, and then you had 26 in 2013. What an anomaly that year. So over under 15 interceptions from last year.
Under.
Under, okay.
Not even close. Under.
Why do you think that? They're playing worse quarterbacks.
Nobody's going to throw at McFadden.
But Derwin's back.
Yeah, and nobody's going to throw at him either.
So they're just going to run the ball.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, they're going to throw at Levante. They're going to throw at Kyle Myers. They're going to throw to whatever side of the field Derwin James is not on, and they're going to throw away from Tavares.
I'm going to go with just over. I don't think it's going to be much over, but I'm going to go with just over. And again, that's partly because they're playing Jalen Hurts, partly because they're playing some quarterbacks later in the schedule that I think may, some younger guys in particular, that may throw a pick or two here or there.
I think they're going to end up with like 12, 13.
Yeah, I've got them at, like, say, 16, 17. So that 15 number is a pretty good over-under, I think, actually. Let's see. Beyond that, okay, last year, total defense, scoring defense. We shouldn't even talk about this. Against FBS winning, gave up 26.9 points per game, which was up from 19.9 the prior year and down from 30.8 in 2014. But then, of course, you had the 14.5 of 2013. So let's see. FBS winning, so against winning programs, average points per game, over or under, Over or under 20?
Under.
So this defense you think is going to be a full touchdown at least better than last year against winning teams?
Yeah, the offenses that they play are much worse.
Yeah, and also they're not going to give up 63.
You've got Malik Rozier.
Yeah, they're not.
It looks like AC Slater for Miami. Luke Del Rio might start for Florida.
I'm going to call Rozier AC Slater the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got the Jerry Curl going on.
That Jerry Curl's worth a field goal, though.
Yeah, well, that might be all they get.
Yeah. No, you've got a point. I'm going to go with the under as well there. So you're looking at about if they're under 20, and I think they're going to be in the 34 range or so against FBS winning, you think they're going to be around 30, 31. Yeah. That's over a 10-point margin. That's pretty good. That puts them in playoff contention based on prior history.
Legitimately, who's the best quarterback that they face? Is it Ryan Finley?
No, I would say it's Lamar Jackson.
Oh, yes. Sorry, outside of Lamar Jackson. He wasn't in the discussion.
Yeah, I have to think about that, but yeah, it might be Ryan Finley. I might put one of Clemson's guys by the time they have one of the young guys in place later in the year. I might put one of them in there. I thought Zarek Cooper looked pretty good in practice when I was there earlier this year, and Hunter Johnson certainly can sling it. So by that time in the year, that may be the next best quarterback they play after Johnson. And I know some people are out there saying, "What about Jalen Hurts?" But we're talking about quarterbacks, not running backs, people.
Yeah, and reports out of Tuscaloosa are saying that he has been very, very up and down.
You're hearing the same stuff I'm hearing, although yeah,
very,
from different
very,
people.
Very up and down in his performances.
And depending on what comes out, whether it's the up or the down against Florida State, that could make a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and start wrapping this up. Other projections for Florida State's season. First of all, what's your projected record for Florida State this year?
In the regular season?
Yeah, regular season. We can't project playoff yet because,
12-1.
12-1. And who's the most likely loss? Obviously Alabama, I guess. Most likely.
Alabama is the most likely loss, yes.
Yeah.
I think NC State's pretty good. If it was in Raleigh, I would definitely project that as a loss. Just because that stadium gives everybody, that's associated with the Garnet and Gold nightmares. You've got the fat guy on the pole swinging his shirt around.
You got the howling.
You've got the howling. It's pretty terrible up there, actually. I was there last year. Terrible.
It's one of the loudest stadiums in the ACC, though. I mean, it's louder than Virginia Tech, and it's probably the aside from Florida State and Clemson, the most SEC style fan base in the ACC, and with Virginia Tech.
I would still say that Virginia Tech is louder
On the field. State.
I've been to both.
On the field. I've been to both for night games, and on the field, I thought State was a good bit louder.
That I was down there for the end of the Florida State NC State game this past year when it was very close, and then I was in Blacksburg. The only time I've been to Blacksburg, the year that Christian Ponder went down and EJ was forced to play.
Yeah, I was on the field as a photographer for that game, so I got the full sense of the sound there, and I was actually surprised by how quiet it was on the field there. I think it's one of those places that's probably pretty loud in the stands, but not nearly as loud on the field.
Yeah, it was really loud in the stands, and I mean, we were up there next to God. You know, they could have flew a 747 through, and we would have been waving at the passengers.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, we're starting to run into time, so let's see. So you've got 12-1, and that most likely loss is Alabama. Next most likely, you think, is NC State, perhaps.
I'm still going to go with Clemson.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Still go with
makes
Clemson, sense. Just because it's up there, it's in Death Valley,
and they know they've shown they know how to win. So,
yeah.
And here's where I drop my stunner. I've been really going back and forth on this quite a bit because my tendency is to hedge a little bit on these sorts of things and say, well, you pick the most likely record accounting for injuries, accounting for all sorts of things. And you know, it's unlikely that anybody ever goes unbeaten. I mean, even Alabama, you don't project to go unbeaten in a year because, you know, you're going to get upset here and there generally. I've rarely predicted undefeated regular seasons. I've done it twice with Florida State. 2013 and 2014 were the only years that I predicted undefeated regular seasons. I said before the 2013 season that I thought that was a national title team. And I actually think the same thing about this 2017 team. I've been really on the fence about calling them, you know, about going with the most likely record of say 11 or 12-1. And again, that's a nod to nobody goes unbeaten in college football. I mean, it's really rare. Maybe one out of 100 teams does it, every year. Maybe two, it happens. But I look at this schedule, and yes, it is a very, very difficult schedule. But here's what I look at, and this is one of the reasons that I said last year's Florida State record would be really hard to project. Was last year they played a lot of elite quarterbacks, especially elite college quarterbacks, guys that could get hot, stay hot, and carve you up to the point where if you make one mistake or two mistakes on the offensive side, or if you miss a coverage here, you know, if something happens, if you turn it over, you lose the game because you can't defend perfect. And as it turned out, that's more or less what happened. They lost to three buzzsaw quarterbacks, particularly without Derwin James. And I think at least two of those games are probably quite different. And, you know, they probably win two of those three with Derwin James on the field. This year, I don't think, you know, I think, again, if Derwin James goes down, or if, you know, and I'm not sure there is another guy that you would say, if he goes down, the season is in that kind of similar situation defensively this year. Yes, if Derwin James goes down, that changes the math a good bit. But I'm going to assume that Derwin James and DeAndre Francois stay largely upright this year, partly because I think Francois gets it out quicker, partly because I think the offensive line's better. And I look at the schedule, and I see one quarterback that really terrifies you, and that's Lamar Jackson. But I think Florida State beats the brakes off of that Louisville team, partly because of what happened last year and because they've got Derwin James to do with Lamar Jackson what they did with Derwin as a freshman. And Nnadi and Sweat will be healthy again, and so on. So I think Florida State goes unbeaten in this season, which is going to give away a little bit of my Alabama prediction for the next episode. Yes, the most likely scenario with Alabama on the schedule, if you want to follow the numbers, is that, yeah, you should predict a loss. But I think they beat Alabama in the first game, and I don't see Miami beating them, not with A.C. Slater at quarterback, and I don't think NC State with Ryan Finley beats them at quarterback, even though I think that's going to be a ball game. So then you have to start looking down the list and saying, which quarterback scares you? And I think by the time they get to Clemson, there's a possibility that they may have a guy. But right now, I think this team goes unbeaten. And I know that, again, I think I know the numbers. I know that, you know, you shouldn't predict teams to go undefeated, particularly against one of the toughest schedules in the country. But if there was a team built to be able to play this particular schedule, it's this Florida State team. With this defensive line, with the depth that they've built, so that, you know, if one guy goes down, they've got some other options. You know, again, a few things could take this sideways. If, you know, if two of the three starting wide receivers goes down, if Francois goes down, you know, that stuff can all change stuff. But I think this Florida State team goes undefeated.
Yeah, I definitely think that is a, you know, it's a definite possibility. I like what, you know, Florida State has this year, you know, but going undefeated is extremely tough.
It's really hard.
It's really hard, and this Florida State, you know, this Florida State schedule for this year is really tough. So I think one loss is more likely, but it would not surprise me in the least for Florida State to go undefeated.
Okay, let's say this. Let's assume that Florida State beats Alabama. I know that's a ridiculous assumption in a lot of ways, but if I could guarantee you that Florida State beats Alabama, do you say undefeated from there.
Yes. If you can guarantee me that Florida State will beat Alabama, then I think that they have a great that they have a better than average shot of winning the other games. But with the Alabama game,
it's hard to predict undefeated when you got Bama on the schedule, man.
Yeah. I mean, but even without Alabama, the schedule is really tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and that's the thing. If you lose to Alabama, I think 10-2 is a really viable possibility. So it's one of those years where I actually think it would be potentially more likely to go 13-0 in the regular season than it would be to go, say, 11-1 or 12-1. Because if they get that momentum from Alabama and then they're able to stay healthy, I think they may be able to run through it. But if you lose that first game and maybe, you know, something happens in that first game, that changes things enough potentially in terms of the psyche of your team where the pressure of maintaining what you need to do comes back and bites you. I've wondered about that. But I'm going with the projection of undefeated, even though I know that, you know, that's usually not the right play. I'm just following my gut and following to some extent what I see in terms of, you know, styles make fights. And I like Florida State, how they match up against Alabama. I like how Florida State matches up against the other key games on their schedule. There are a number of losable games, but there's nobody that I'm looking at, aside from maybe Louisville, that I say, man, if that guy catches fire, they're in real trouble. And I think against that Louisville defense this year, they may be able to match score for score, even if Lamar Jackson starts to heat up some. So it becomes an interesting thing. I've gone back and forth. I did not want to do this. Now, that said, here's the monkey wrench to this. That doesn't necessarily mean that Florida State actually wins the national title. They can go undefeated in the regular season. And if they play Alabama again at the end of the year, I think Alabama at the end of this season is going to be a lot scarier than Alabama in the opener. So that rematch, let's say they play Alabama in a rematch, Alabama's got a lot of young guys that are more talented, frankly, I think, than some of the older guys in front of them, particularly at wide receiver and in some of those spots, at quarterback. And I wonder if by the end of the year, Alabama's not a good bit better than they are now. And so, you know, I think Florida State is better than Ohio State, and I think they would be by the end of the year. But if they have to play Alabama a second time, I think that could be one of those where they go undefeated up to the title game and Alabama wins again or wins the rematch. So I'm not confident enough to necessarily predict that they are certain, you know, that this is going to be a national title team, but I think they go into the playoff undefeated. And I think they've got as good a chance as any at that point to wind up as an undefeated national champion.
Yeah. You know, when you consider on the defense alone, you know, Alabama's breaking in what, five new starters
on the front seven alone.
Yeah, so
that plus a couple key guys in the secondary.
Yeah, so I mean, it's going to be, you know, a very young unit that's going to have a lot of experience by the end of the year at that point. So yeah, I definitely could see where you're coming from on that, strictly because I think the defense would be so much better.
Yeah, a five-star sophomore defensive end like Raekwon Davis, who right now has a gunshot wound in his leg, we don't know how serious. By the end of the year, that guy's playing like a top 10 draft pick. The beginning of the year, maybe not. What's that?
I said, unless he gets another gunshot wound in his leg.
Yeah, I'm going to doubt that happens again, but you never know. I mean, if he keeps hanging out at that particular bar in Tuscaloosa, which has been, you know, a hive of scum and villainy for quite a long time. So, but, you know, you get those guys, some of the sophomores and some of the younger guys that will be, I think, just a lot scarier by the end of the year. So Alabama, I think, is very gettable right now. And, you know, I think best case scenario is Florida State gets them early and then maybe they don't make the playoff. And then I think the team that would be most likely to be able to beat Florida State late in the year would then potentially be out. But I think both teams will wind up in the playoff again. All right. Well, any other last thoughts aside from, first of all, let's go ahead and let the listeners know about about the name of your podcast and how to access it and so on. Now that you've launched this whole thing.
It's the Noel Sports Podcast. Noel Sports is one word, and it's on SoundCloud. It's on iTunes, and whenever podcast is posted, I put a link up on our website, so you can find it there as well. They usually drop on Fridays.
All righty. Well, definitely give Wayne a follow on that Noel Sports Podcast. Again, for some Friday information, I know for a fact that Wayne is very well connected with some very good sources in Tallahassee. So even though he, as a member of the Florida State Beat, is currently banned or barred from seeing anything in practice or, you know, talking to anyone on the record, you can rest assured that he knows plenty, that he can kind of talk around the edges of, at least, and give you a good sense of what's going on in the program. And once again, thank you to Wayne McGahee III for joining this two-part episode. Now we're going to go ahead and shift gears to a few national things, looking around the country and what to expect. I'm going to go ahead and start just from a national perspective, looking at the playoff and in general how things shake out. In that respect, you know, the first thing is last year I'd said, you know, basically that I thought that there were more teams sort of in that top tier or near that top tier than in most years. Though I thought at least three of the playoff participants would come from a group of six, not group of five, but from six specific programs. Being Alabama, Florida State, Clemson, Ohio State, Michigan, and I'm trying to remember. Oh, LSU was the sixth one. As it turned out, that was three of the four playoff teams. I didn't expect Oklahoma to get there. I thought maybe they'd have worked their way. They'd have gotten beaten by someone in the Big 12. And cannibalized there. I thought maybe both the Big 12 and Pac-12 might get shut out last year. That didn't happen, but I did get some sense of where they would come from. This year, I think, is a little bit different, though. This year is not a situation where you have a good number of teams sort of stretching into that elite tier. I think there's some separation, really, between the top three teams in the country and everybody else in terms of talent and experience returning and all of this. I think you can pretty well name three of the four playoff teams right up front, absent, you know, a Derwin James type injury to one of these contenders. I think we're going to see Alabama, Florida State, and Ohio State in the playoff. Now, granted, Clemson could turn the corner again. I mean, they've been able to replace an awful lot of talent the last couple of years, and seemingly without skipping a beat. Although, you know, they did get a little weaker in certain areas each time, but they've had a generational quarterback there who's helped cover some of those situations, and Deshaun Watson, who's now gone, and it's a little more difficult to replace one of those guys, as Florida State can tell you after having to replace Jameis Winston. But they do have, in Zarek Cooper and Hunter Johnson, a redshirt freshman and a true freshman who seem poised to potentially be able to replace at least some of what Watson could do and do so well by say mid-year. The question is, you know, whether they'll be able to survive, say, Auburn in game two. I think, again, Alabama is one where if they lose that first game to Florida State, like I think they will, Auburn is a real threat to them on this schedule. Auburn's going to be really, really good. And when you talk about that second tier of teams, I think you've got in that second tier, you've got Clemson, Auburn, Washington, Penn State, LSU, Southern Cal, Stanford. That group is probably where your other playoff team comes from. And it's possible that one from that group could knock out one of the top three. But as of right now, I expect Florida State, Alabama, and Ohio State to wind up in the playoff joined by a fourth team, probably a fourth team from that group. So most likely somebody from out west or from a conference not represented by the first three. So that would say maybe Washington, Penn State, Southern Cal, or Stanford would be the most likely group there, though perhaps an Oklahoma State or an Oklahoma with just the right look would get there. But I think what's going to happen there, and we'll, I guess this is a good time as any, as good a time as any to go into the Big 12 preview here. I think what's going to happen in the Big 12 is they're going to regret this year very quickly adding a conference title game. They added a conference championship game despite already playing a round robin because they were somehow of the belief that it would make getting into the playoff, it would facilitate getting into the playoff, make that easier. I think if anything, that's going to go the opposite direction. You know, if a team makes it to the conference championship for the Big 12 in position to potentially make the playoff, I think this would be absolutely the kind of year where you would expect one of those teams to or the team to go in. I don't think there's much separation there. That team would have probably won the regular season matchup and probably loses that conference championship. So, you know, let's say Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State in the conference finale. And then Oklahoma State manages to win the conference championship, and I think that eventually knocks them out. But either way, I don't think anybody from the Big 12 this year makes the playoff. I think Oklahoma is going to start the year with a bad loss to Ohio State and Columbus. I don't think ultimately they're going to be able, as a conference, to step up and win enough to have one of their elite teams do well enough to wind up in the playoff. So, and I do think Oklahoma probably wins the conference, but I figure they'll do so with like a 10-2 or a 9-3 record. And then, you know, you have to deal with that potential conference championship loss, which again, I think was a real mistake on their part to add that to a round robin schedule. Beyond that, let's skip over to the Pac-12. In the Pac-12, this is going to be, I think, one of the more competitive conference races nationally at the top. I think Washington is once again going to be very, very good in the Pac-12 North, but I think Stanford's going to be really good in the Pac-12 North as well. And I think those two teams are going to be joined by some competitive programs along that middle, Washington State and Oregon in particular being pretty competitive in the middle of the conference, and you know may give Washington or Stanford some difficulty here or there. I think in the Pac-12 North, though, I'm going to go with Washington. I think they're the best coach team in the Pac-12, and I think they've got more talent now than they've had. Last year, they had a lot of talent on defense, but I think they continue to build well there. I think the world of Chris Peterson as a coach, and I think ultimately they're going to win the Pac-12 North. And to play in that Pac-12 championship against the winner of the South, who I think is going to be USC, who I think is now still another maybe a year or two away from being the potential behemoth that they could be now that they're emerging from sanctions and all this and can basically be the recruiting giant there in the Pac-12 that basically gets all the players that they want. Unlike any program in the country, they can basically recruit whoever they want on the West Coast and get them. But I think it's going to be a couple more years, maybe a year or two more before they're truly the behemoth that they might be. Question is going to be whether or not their quarterback, Sam D. Arnold, or Sam Darnold, as he prefers, will be able to be that guy that helps them take the step above where they are really as a program. In other respects, you know, they've got some issues up front on both sides. Even though they've got players, they're not quite as settled on the lines as they'd like to be. But sometimes having that generational quarterback is enough. Is Sam D. Arnold going to be enough to work them through that extra loss and turn it into a win because of having that advantage at the most important position on the field? That's one question. And UCLA is, I think, going to be another really interesting case this year. I've got them second in the Pac-12 South, but if Josh Rosen returns from his shoulder injury and the surgery there, if he returns to the form that he could, then they may well contend for that division. But as of right now, I've got Washington versus USC in the Pac-12 championship, and I've got that going to USC, where, again, I'm going to favor the team with the better quarterback, even though I think Washington in many other respects is the better team, is a significantly stronger team in lots of other areas. I'm going to favor the better quarterback at that point in the year. I think that's going to be one of the better conference championship games, one of the closer conference championship games this year, because I think those two teams wind up pretty evenly matched there. Unlike a situation in the Big Ten where I think Ohio State basically races through the Big Ten this year. I wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State finishes unbeaten this year, because I don't know that there is another program, another team in the Big Ten that will really challenge them. I think Penn State is pretty much the one team that's close, but I don't think after last year they're going to be able to repeat that success again against Ohio State. I think Ohio State avenges that loss, and I think they march through everyone, including Michigan, who I think is going to take a little bit of a step back. I've got them at 10-2, but once again finishing in the Harbaugh position and third in the Big Ten East with Michigan. So I think Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan basically resume their respective roles, with Ohio State actually winning the division this year. But I think Ohio State will take advantage of what is a softer schedule than most people realize, and basically going on a scorched earth campaign and marching into the college football playoff at either number one or number two. And basically being in a position to play in that championship game if they can win their side. So I think they win the East, and in the West, you know, I would favor Nebraska, but the problem is Nebraska plays the top two teams in the East in Ohio State and Penn State, and Wisconsin basically ducks both of them. So I think in terms of the schedule favors the Badgers, and I'm going to go with the Badgers to go ahead and win the East, or win the Big Ten West once again over Northwestern and Nebraska, who I think Nebraska is going to be once again probably better than their record, but the result of playing the stronger teams in their division, I think is going to end up costing them. So I'm going with Wisconsin against Ohio State yet again. This has been a Big Ten championship game before, and I think once again Ohio State lays waste to a Wisconsin team that really will be overmatched in that game. So I'm going to go with Ohio State to win the Big Ten, make the big college football playoff, and then managed to lose once again in the college football playoff, either in the first round of the college football playoff in the semifinals, or in the championship game, depending on when they play either Alabama or Florida State. So I think both of those two teams will again do something similar to what Clemson did to them. Although I think Ohio State's going to be a good bit better this year with more vertical passing threat than they've had the last couple of years, which has been the big limiting factor for Ohio State since basically JT Barrett's return. Barrett's not been able to stretch the football, but it's been less Barrett, even though he's not a good vertical thrower. It's been less Barrett than some of the lack of playmakers on the outside, and I'm still not convinced that they have the elite guys on the outside to really scare you there. And I think that's going to end up coming back and biting them. So we've got the Big 12, we've got the Pac-12, we've got the Big 10. Now to the two real conferences, the real power conferences. Looking at the SEC, I'm going to project Alabama to win the SEC until notified otherwise. I think Auburn is going to be the second in that West division, because Jarrett Stidham is going to be really, really good. I think he may be a one and doneer at Auburn and move on to the NFL with an offense that has some big time wide receivers stepping up, some young guys who got their feet wet last year and should be ready to be some vertical threats. Nate Craig Myers, some of those guys at Auburn are gonna cause problems for people, and the question is whether or not they're gonna be good enough at the end of the season to play an Alabama team that by the end of 2017 is going to be frightening. And I think ultimately they come up just a bit short. Alabama wins the West, and faces Georgia, the champion from the East. I think Florida takes a little bit of a step back this year defensively. I think they'll be better, a good bit better offensively, but it's not going to be quite enough to make up for the losses on defense where they've been so good with all of Muschamp's recruited and trained players, and now those guys are moving on, and I just don't think they're going to be quite as good as they've been before. And Georgia, even though there's been, you know, good there's been some concerning reports, some reliable but concerning reports about some discipline issues on that team. And, you know, it's not clear to me that Jacob Eason is going to finish the year as the starter at Georgia. I think ultimately they wind up winning the division and facing Alabama in the as the sacrificial lamb from the East in the SEC championship game. And I think a one-loss Alabama team makes the college football playoff after managing to go unbeaten through the SEC yet again. I'm going to be very curious to see what happens with LSU in this first full year under Ed Orgeron. I think they'll probably finish third in that division. But I'm curious to see what's going to happen with their offense. You know, obviously they hired a very good offensive coordinator from Pitt, who gave everybody trouble at Pitt the last couple of years with all sorts of exotic motions and lots of jet sweeps and creative ways to run the football and get the football downfield off play action. I think that's going to make LSU a good bit better this year on offense. The question is how good will they be as an overall team, and whether Orgeron's going to be able to get the ship moving in the right direction, particularly since their talent has taken a little bit of a step down after losing that generational recruiting class. Some of the members of that generational recruiting class that came in with Fournette, some of those guys have moved on. So they're not quite as talented as they've been, but the question is whether or not some of the upgrades there on the offensive side of the ball are going to be enough for them to, say, knock off an Auburn or to even knock off an Alabama, and that'll be an interesting thing to watch. But I don't think there's any real threat to Alabama's dominance from the East. And I think ultimately that the East goes Georgia, Florida, Tennessee this year, and moves down from there as teams continue to wallow in mediocrity in that on that side of the conference. Then we get to the ACC, where obviously most of the members of this program are heavily invested. This is going to be an interesting one. The Coastal winds up with, say, a multiple-way tie, whether a three- or a four-way tie at the top. I think Miami winds up being the representative to the ACC championship game after three or four teams wind up at 5-3 in the conference. As of right now, I'm going to project Miami, Virginia Tech, and UNC, North Carolina, as three teams going 5-3 in the conference, partly due to how the schedule shakes out, and partly due to the strength of those different teams. The question is whether Miami's offense is going to be competitive enough with A.C. Slater at quarterback, or whether they'll end up going with Nikosi Perry at some point later in the year. But I think their defense, especially their defensive line, is going to be good enough to potentially put them in that position. So I'm going to go with Miami to win the Coastal at, say, 8-4, 5-3, or actually, no, I'm going to go 9-3 and then 5-3 in the conference, because their non-conference is abysmal anyway. I don't think they'll lose non-conference, so we'll go 9-3 and 5-3. And they're going to face a Florida State champion, having gone 8-0 in conference. I think Clemson is going to wind up 10-2 on the year. I do have some concern for Clemson against that Auburn team and against a very good quarterback in Stidham in week two. It's very possible that Auburn ends up, say, 9-3 this year. I do think they'll lose two games in conference. I wouldn't be surprised if NC State got them in Raleigh this year. I think that NC State team is going to finish third in the division ahead of Louisville, or tied with Louisville, say. I think NC State is going to go about 8-4. Louisville probably 8-4, 9-3, but I think they wind up being right around 5-3 in the conference. But Florida State wins the conference, going unbeaten in the conference. I think that Florida State team goes unbeaten into the playoff as probably the number one seed in the playoff. where they will either face a rematch with Alabama or they'll play, say, the Pac-12 representative while Alabama and Ohio State get the other semifinal, which is where I would project things at present. So that's my national my national preview. I do think the Heisman race is going to be very interesting with Jackson back and with Darnold and others getting a lot of publicity. I don't think Derwin James wins it this year, folks. I just don't think he gets enough touches to get that kind of attention. Though, you know, a few splash plays against Alabama and say Clemson could get him in the discussion, but I don't see him winning it. But it's going to be an interesting year. Like I said, I think Florida State, Ohio State, and Alabama will go into the playoff 1-2-3. That fourth member, probably USC, and so I figure it's probably going to be a USC, Florida State, and then Alabama, or then Ohio State and Alabama in the semifinals. And if it's Florida State and Ohio State in the finals, then I like Florida State. If it's Florida State in a rematch against that Alabama team, I'm not so sure that that Alabama doesn't win the second one. I'm not willing to make that projection just yet. Too far out for us to really project a college football playoff. But if I had to project a national champion before the year right now, I do think this Florida State team is that team. I like their chances to get through better than anybody else, and that's despite a killer schedule. So. A lot there. We'll see how this goes. I mean, my national projections preseason have been pretty good, though certainly missed a few last year. I had TCU, I think, winning the Big 12 last year, and that certainly flamed out pretty quickly. So it'll be interesting to see what my errors are this year. But that's where things are. Be interesting to see who stays healthy, which health is probably the biggest factor in winning a title and all. But all right, that's going to do it for us here. Once again, a reminder to the listeners to give Wayne McGahey III's new Knoll Sports podcast through the Tallahassee Democrat a subscribe. That'll be an interesting one there. Lots of interviews and all sorts of things on those Friday podcasts, and outstanding material there. Even though the beat has no access right now to Florida State's. Florida State's practices or anything like that on the record, you can rest assured that Wayne has some excellent sources to make sure that everybody knows what they should know about what's happening in and around Florida State athletics. And if you're not a subscriber to this program, to the Unconquered Podcast, go ahead and do so through your podcast manager of choice. I'm accessible basically everywhere. This podcast basically accessible everywhere. Give me a follow on Twitter at Doc Staples. Let us know what you think over on our Facebook page. Lots of things to discuss. We're going to be coming back. Definitely stay tuned for the and give us, by the way, effusive 5-star ratings. That helps us with sponsors, with all sorts of other things. Helps us out tremendously. I know it's a bad system, but the more 5-star ratings we get on Apple Podcasts however you listen, the more subscribers we get, the better that works for us. So definitely do that. And once again, the next episode is going to be on Thursday, where we're going to break down the Alabama-Florida State game and give my predictions on what I think happens in that game and why. Definitely stay tuned for that. Until then, this has been the Unconquered Podcast, brought to you by Jacksonville realtor Luis Marquez. Thanks for listening. I made this.